Yeah, boy, as a cracked out MC once said, Brown and Lawhead. Well, Flavor Flav didn't say Brown and Lawhead, but nevertheless, he did smoke crack. He was on television. Browner and Lawhead, we're on the radio. We're on YouTube. We're on podcasts. Wherever you get podcasts, we are there. We're available to do all, well, two of those three things. One, you got to turn on the radio, listen to the Mighty 1090 all the way from the border, all the way past Santa Barbara. Number three, YouTube, podcast platforms, Kaplan and Crew. I repeat, Kaplan and Crew. All you have to do when you get to there, you put that name in, whether you're in YouTube, you put that name in, whether you're in your podcast platforms. Browner and Lawhead always starts with today's date. That's how you know it's us. And there's a big-ass white picture. Look at me again. There's a huge white picture that says Browner and Lawhead. Not because we're white, as Jason likes to say, we're ebony and ivory when it comes to color. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, we are here, and that's how you find us. We've got buy and sell on the show. We've got winners and losers. Jason, it's our Friday. How you feeling, buddy?
I wish we had two more days, but I get jacked up for this Wednesday / Friday that we get to do and talk about what's coming up this week. And, there's not enough time. You know that. We talk about that all the time. So let's get rolling.
Rolling. We shall get winners, losers. We're going to start with winners. Jason, who is your winner?
The New York Yankees.
You're like a New York guy. Who you're from Ohio. You're always talking about the New Yorks.
Well, they're making some noise even when they don't make noise in the Jets and Giants case. But this time the Yankees, what a roller coaster second half, right? They had that 13-game winning streak a little over a month ago. You thought they were gonna come and maybe catch the Rays with the way they were playing. And then they go lose, I think, 11 of 12 or 13 of 15, something like that. And it looks like they're not even going to be in the second wild card slot. Then they turn it on the dime again, and they've won 7 straight. And they look good going into this weekend. They've got the 2-game lead clear of the first wild card spot. And with the way Tampa has already pretty much clinched home field through the American League, and the fact that they can't clinch home field for the World Series because the National League is just far ahead with the Giants. Those last 3 games against the Rays may just take off, solidify the Yankees' chances just to hold on to that first wild card spot. And, it's interesting because as much as the Yankees have spent, as much as the modern game has allowed them to just go out and get anybody they want, no matter if somebody goes down, they just go spend another $30 million a year. This is the longest 20 years, right? They haven't won a second World Series. They've won one World Series in 2009 since the 2000 World Series championship of that little minor dynasty they had. But what's interesting is since Babe Ruth, this is the longest stretch they've gone without 2 World Series titles. 78 from 96 was their longest drought ever since Ruth. That 18 years was the longest they've gone. And then before that, it was 1962 to 77, from the Mantle era till Reggie Jackson showed up on that team. But they've always been able to win 2 in a 20-year span at some point. This is now 20 years where they've won 1. If they don't win it this year, it's 21 years and counting where they only have 1. So all that money spent, all that big market kind of bravado that they have, it's interesting that this is kind of a year, even as a wild card, where it's kind of, I think, pressure on for Boone. If they don't at least get to the World Series and can show some face there, I don't know where the Yankees kind of go forward from their manager as well. They kind of have what they almost have a Jace Tingler, but more successful problem in New York in a way. So, but I still like them as the winners here going into this week for me, with the way they've been able to just put their foot on Boston in these last few days in Toronto and take the lead. So the Yankees are my winner.
That's very nice of you to talk about the Yankees, and very poor taste of you to compare anyone to Chase Tingler, my man. Those are fighting words around here, brother. We, no one should do that unless you really want to throw hands. The other hand, I'm not going to disagree with you. Look, the Yankees are we laughed about whether or not a market being good is better for a sport, because baseball of all sports is more regional now than it is anything. But for us to always know when the Yankees are good, or to always know when the Yankees are bad, is probably the biggest indictment on, of all the sports, of all the teams, a good Yankee team always lifts up Major League Baseball. I don't know why that is, but it is what it is.
The Yankees are always good. It's a great Yankee team that really lifts up baseball. Even when the Yankees are bad, they're actually good. You know, I mean, they always have good teams, but that's not enough in New York.
You gotta be great.
You gotta be great.
They set a standard, which I respect, and they adhere to that standard regardless of where baseball is down or up as a overall sport. The Yankee brand always has to be top notch. And that's why I always separate that from the Lakers. And that's why I always separate that from the Cowboys, because they have caps on how much they can spend. The Yankees don't. And that allows the Yankees to be like, wait a minute, we got a standard. How much that costs? 30 million? Give them 35. We'll take it. That's just how they get down. And I respect that. I respect that 100%. Another person who I respect, another person who is a winner, this guy. That there is my man, Richard Sherman, who is now the newest member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Listen, you don't have to like the Bucs. You don't have to agree with what they're doing. They're getting players to join their team like it's the NBA. They're getting players to join their team like LeBron is saying, hey, you almost washed up? Come play with me. I'll carry your carcass to an NBA championship. Tom Brady is now doing that in a football way, and it is fascinating. And again, I was never a Tom Brady fan until he left New England and absolutely peacocked his personality, and I'm all for it. The fact that this guy will get Richard Sherman on his team, who famously walks up to him during a game after an interception and goes, you mad, bro? Like, Tom Brady is about winning. Tom Brady also now appears to be full-on buying into the whole entertainment factor of this, the internet version, the Twitter version, the Instagram version of this, and he knows how to play the drama. So the fact that Richard Sherman is now on the Bucks after the Seahawks called him and he refused to even have a workout for the Seahawks because they waited too long to call him. Hats off to him, man. Richard Sherman, you the winner, bro. You my winner for the day.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's almost like Brady has, you know, made a political movement in the NFL in a way, man, where they're following a movement. And I think Sherman, you know, he was just waiting for some reason not to have to go back or call back Seattle, right? You know, you're still adamant that the Rams are going to finish last. I think that's after the 3 weeks we've seen that Seahawk team is in real trouble defensively, and I don't see how the Seahawks get themselves out of last place in the NFC West unless some major injuries or major things happen for them and the other three teams. So Richard Sherman is sitting there going, I go play for the Seahawks, who are at the bottom of a division that's the hardest, or go play for the Buccaneers, who are at the top of the division that's one of probably the most mediocre at best or subpar with you know, even the Panthers showing that they're playing good football, and maybe the Saints, you know, who knows what we're going to get from them. They've got a great head coach. Who knows? They've got some skilled position players. But that's the move, right? For Sherman, if that's available, that's the move. You're at the end of a rope to say, where's my best chance to get that second ring? I'll go with the guy that's got seven of them. Yeah, of course. It's a no-brainer. So he's a winner on that decision. We'll see how it plays out at the end. If he plays nice, if he can understand whatever role they want him to play, and they'll go from there.
They need help at the position, most importantly. As much as he may have wanted to go back to Seattle or was trepidatious about it, the Bucks need help, and they probably pay them more, and they're a better team. Because if you said something really funny that caught on to me, the divisions around the NFL, I can pretty much tell you who is going to be the playoff teams based on the way things look from a division standpoint. You know the Bucks are going to make it. You know the Packers are going to make it. You know the Cowboys are going to make it. You know the Chiefs are going to make it, regardless of how it looks right now. So there's really only a couple undecided divisions, and I think it's the AFC South. I think it's the NFC West, and I'm forgetting one, and in the AFC East. I think that's going to be undecided because I think Miami's going to come around, and I think Buffalo's going to kind of find itself in a weird place. So I don't know much about the AFC North. That's more of your department, but that thing's kind of all figured itself out. So there you go, man. There you go. So we at Browner and Lawhead, as you can hear here right now on the Mightier 1090. Oh, look at me. Yeah, Mightier 1090. I'm John Browner. You're hearing the voice also of Jason Lawhead here. We are doing a little thing on Wednesdays like we like to call buy or sell logo. If you're watching, looks like that. If you're listening, this is how we are going to determine whether we are happy with something going into the weekend or if we're down on something going into the weekend. Because as you know, our last show is today of the week. We're going to do a little buy and sell NFL going into the weekend. Jason, I'm going to go with my first buy. I'm buying the Chiefs. Okay? I'm buying the Chiefs, and I'm buying the Chiefs for this reason. I have full credit in Patrick Mahomes. Okay? The U.S. is about to default on their credit, okay? We're going to have a work stoppage in this country. I believe in Patrick Mahomes. I believe that Patrick Mahomes is not going to default on his credit with me, and I'm pretty sure the Kansas City Chiefs will right the ship. What did you say, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, they've got the Eagles coming into Arrowhead, an Eagles team that is coming off of a short week and a whipped week down in Dallas. And just, you know, like I said, scrappy at best. They'll have some Sundays where they can maybe put it all together. But a team like that needs 44 guys playing perfect football, as you've seen last week. Whereas the Kansas City Chiefs need about six guys playing right, really good football for them to get wins. So, I'll agree with that buy. It's exactly what the Chiefs need right now is a team that comes, you know, limping in and with the way they've had their first 3 weeks go, and especially their last two. So I'll buy that. You know, Mahomes is just too good to keep down, even in an off early start. He usually owns September's historically. This is one that he's kind of trying to figure out what's going on. So I think the Eagles set up nicely for him. I'll agree with that buy.
Give me a buy or sell.
I like the Bengals. I'm buying the Bengals. And you know, I know that for a glimpse against your Bears, You were feeling real good about Joe Burrow being dancing, that flop baby that you think he is. But then that recovery coming back, yes, they had a bad game against the Bears. The Bears neutralized Joe Mixon. They couldn't get the ball off the line of scrimmage, and it just snowballed from there. But the way the Bengals, as the Bengals, were able to kind of just get back into the film room, get back onto the practice field the next week, and get ready for the Steelers, and to do what they did to the Steelers, especially offensively from Burrow, and big win for them in the division. Now they've got technically in those first 3 weeks, even though the Ravens are 2-1 and the Browns are 2-1, the Bengals are, by tiebreaker, sole possession of the AFC North with that interdivision win. And
get out of here with those technicalities, man.
Well, I'm just saying, technicalities. They've got the Jaguars tomorrow night. They're going to go feast on them at home. I'm buying the Bengals going forward.
Okay. I can't be too mad at that. I need more people jumping on the Bengal bandwagon. So when it crash, I'll look very smart. I am going to do another buy. I'm buying the Cardinals. I really am. I'm 100% buying the Cardinals. You guys know I'm fawning over Kyler Murray. I love what they're doing, and I think this is a huge test to also help me prove something else, that the Rams are not what people think they are. I think the Rams are fool's gold, and I think you're going to see it come this Sunday when they take on the Cardinals. I am buying the Cardinals. Jason, buying or selling somebody?
I'm going to buy you one little added ingredient. I'm going to buy that matchup. The Cardinals Rams. I'm buying the game as in. Whoever wins this, I feel whoever wins this game on Sunday is going to be the winner of that division. Now, it's early to say that, but I think when you look and examine this game going into Sunday, it's in SoFi. It's coming off of a big Rams win against Tampa Bay, the Super Bowl champs. And now the Cardinals, impressively to me, have won every way you can win in the NFL in the first 3 weeks, right? They've dominated. They've had to play bad and but then get it together and win a game. Those Sundays show up on your schedule a few times a year where you just you're better than that opponent, but sometimes you just gotta get through them, right? So they've been able to come back, they've been able to blow you out, and they've been able to just play a bad football game, play down to their competition for three quarters, and then turn the switch. So I love this matchup. My favorite matchup of the week. I'm buying the matchup as the winner of this is kind of my clear favorite going forward to win that division.
I'm going to buy something I never want to buy. I mean, like literally, this is like buying condoms. I never want to do this, but I'm doing it. Okay? I'm buying the Cowboys, man. I really am. They looked great on Monday night, much to my chagrin, and I really think they're going to look really good on Sunday against the Carolina Panthers, because without Christian McCaffrey, the Panthers look absolutely lost. I like what they've done with Sam Darnold. I like the turnaround that he appears to have had. But without Christian McCaffrey, they don't have a lot of weapons. They don't have a lot of team. They don't have a lot of guys to go to. I think this is going to be a single-digit score, and I think the Cowboys are really going to run away with this game.
This is an interesting matchup without McCaffrey in the sense that there's a lot on the table to prove for Sam Darnold.
Right.
And the Cowboy defense. Okay. Sam Darnold and the Cowboy defense have a lot to prove on the table. They don't have to like try to out-duel each other, but what are they going to do? Who's going to show up more? Sam Darnold with the guys that he's stuck with without Christian McCaffrey? Can he move the chains? Or is the Dallas Cowboys going to be able to game plan their way against an offense that has just one of the most integral parts of any offense in the league missing? And I, you know, I'm not going to buy or sell either of that. I'm just expounding on your point. I think that's just an interesting gauge. I think we're going to learn a lot about both of these teams in their own division. You know, unfortunately for the Cowboys, they're in that terrible division. But for the Panthers as a potential wild card to stick around with the Buccaneers and at least maybe nip on their heels, because they're going to miss McCaffrey for at least 3 weeks, right? He's on the IR 3 week list. So these are three football games and this big one here, because Cowboys have known to beat themselves. So Darnold, he may get lucky this week and he might find himself in a game in a fourth quarter that he can win. And that would be a huge lift for him and that team if somehow that they can sneak away and get one away from that defense.
By the way, I think that spread is 7.5, so I don't know. Ain't no way in hell the Panthers are going to win that game. Give me a buy or sell.
You know, I'm going to finally sell on the Raiders this week. Not to say that I think that they're a fraud or anything, but I just think this is finally that Raider week going into LA and playing the Chargers. Yes, it'll be 75% Raider fans, maybe more, in that stadium. But I'm going to tell you what, Justin Herbert went into Arrowhead. He's proven that didn't bother him. Things were so bad in Kansas City that Chiefs fans were sucker punching each other because there's no LA fans that are in Missouri, let alone LA. So they had to sucker punch each other in the crowd. So look, Herbert was able to do that. He's able to play against Cowboy fans in SoFi. He's been able to play against, Chiefs fans in Arrowhead. I don't think that's that big contingent of Raider fans and Raider Nation is going to bother him or that Charger team. I think they actually look forward to it. It's a divisional opponent. I think they want to win two in a row. And I just think, Raiders have played with a little house money early. They've gotten away with a couple. They 3-0. They can still be 1-2 in a certain Raider form. So I'm selling the Raiders this week on just a team that's not going to go 4-0 where a lot of fans think they will.
I like where you're headed. I'm not selling them. I'm not buying them. I'm pushing on them, but I like the game. I like the Chargers to win. We got 40 seconds left. I'm going to give you one sell.
I'm telling the Patriots. I think they're just going to get absolutely hammered at home. I think Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are coming in, and they're coming in mad.
I'm selling the Bears. I'm selling the Bears mostly because I hope the Lions destroy them. Because this way, this is the only way to get rid of Matt Nagy. A public flogging by a team with a coach that's a weightlifting musclehead moron. And if this guy outcoaches you, there's nothing anybody can help you. Go ahead, start Nick Foles, get crushed by the Lions, and this will be the first time the Bears would have ever fired a coach midseason. Brown and Lawhead, we'll be back. What's up? Welcome back to the second half of the pod. Browner and Lawhead, if you missed the first half, we were buying and selling NFL teams going into the weekend. Really good conversation. If you want to hear any of that, you can check us out on YouTube and on any place you can get a podcast, any podcast platform. Browner and Lawhead, we are available under Kaplan and Crew. We put the date before our podcast, so that's where you know the difference between the two. So shout out to Kaplan and Crew. That's my other show. I love those guys. Also, we did winners and losers. Jason apparently loves all New York sports, winners or losers. And I love Richard Sherman because I know at some point for the Bucks he's going to do something crazy and it's going to trend. We're going to now start the second half of this show with winners and, well, losers. Wah, wah, wah. The first loser, the taxpayer. Okay? The taxpayer. You know why? Because you're still looking for this white girl's killer. I get it, okay? I really do understand. A blonde white girl goes missing. The girl next door, she's not some super smoking hot woman, because then that intimidates other women. And so they won't really put her on TV to look for her like that. This young lady who's missing right now, well, not missing, they found her body or her remains. She is the Nancy Grace poster child for missing white women that we will talk about until they find Natalie Holloway, which they never have, by the way. This is out of control. They're now looking for the boyfriend who they assume to be the killer, whose parents hid him somewhere, by the way. All your tax dollars, all these police I see on TV, all these search parties, these dogs, these boats down in Florida, these helicopters, all this money, all your taxpayer money, for a manhunt for one person. One effing person. While on the other hand, the January 6th people are going to court and getting misdemeanor charges for I think it's like interrupting a parade or something, like crazy slap on the wrist. Like, it's what they're actually pleading guilty to will literally make your hair catch on fire. But yet here we are spending hundreds of thousands of overtime taxpayer dollars to a police force looking for a guy who his parents know where he is. Lock them up. End of story.
Yeah. Lock them up. They'll start talking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Put him in solitary confinement for a couple of days. They'll tell you where he at. They don't love him that much.
It's pretty wild, man. You know, the future of America is just empty press conferences.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
If we have a kid, I told my wife, if we had a kid, you know what I'm teaching him? Sign language, because that might be the only job left, is sign language press conference person. Just learn some sign language and you'll get hired by any agency.
Anyone.
Whether it's the CDC or the FBI or the governor or whoever it needs to be in whatever state or whatever. Go to sign language school, kids. That's the future.
My favorite is when a person doesn't know sign language and they still get the job and they're up there signing and they have no, it's nothing. It's just pure nothing. And they're going,
it's great. They're just like a third base coach. It's like, is that guy even saying what, or is he giving the bunt sign? What's he doing?
Just touching everything and meaning nothing. It's great.
Yeah, it's wild, man. And you know, they're over there looking for this girl and they found some guy that's been missed. Did you see that? They found a guy. They're looking for evidence up in Yellowstone. And they actually found a guy nobody cared about looking for the last
it just 2 months. It just makes no sense, man. This guy's missing too. Oh, hey, we found this guy too.
It's like, yeah, they just they the way they say it, they're just like, hey, and we found an otter. like he was just like a lost phone or something, you know?
Dollar in my pocket. What is this? Who is this?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. So it's nuts, but you know,
give me a loser.
My losers, I'm gonna stick in baseball and I'm gonna go with the Oakland A's. And if you think you're a Padres fan and you're sick to your stomach about this second half of a season and then the way you know, August rolled into September, try being an Oakland A's fan, right? This is a team that in mid-August was 20 games over 500, right there, maybe taking the Astros to the limit to win this division. And today they stand at 85-73. They're 3.5 back of any chance that, I mean, they're pretty much going to be eliminated within the next game or two out of the wild card spot. And if you didn't think that was bad as an A's fan, in the second half of the season alone, the team that's sitting 3.5 games ahead of, or 2.5 games ahead of them in the wild card are the Seattle Mariners. The Seattle Mariners are 85-70 or 87-70, and they are a minus 50 in run differential. They're the only team left that has playoff hopes that are on the red numbers of run differential. Not only worse than that, the A's have gone 1-11 against the Mariners head-to-head in the second half alone, and they sit three games full behind them. Could you imagine being at Oakland? The anti-New York Yankees, right? The small market. We do all the research so we don't have to spend that kind of money that we don't have, and we put a contender on the field every year. And this is just one of these types of things where it's because they're such a silent, you know, assassin, so to speak, many years in the past, it's not getting much attention. But this A's team has absolutely, and those A's fans love their baseball. Like those Bay Area fans, the A's has been a great winning organization going back to since they moved to Oakland. What an implosion to be that good for so long in the season and then to let the Seattle Mariners just own you the way they have. It's my loser. The Oakland Z's is what I'm calling them down the stretch.
You know, I'm researching something because I want to see if I'm correct about this, because I don't know when the last time the Oakland A's won a World Series. I know they were in the World Series during the earthquake. So it was
1989 earthquake. Yes.
Okay, so 1989 and 1972, are there two World Series championships?
No, they won 70. They won three in a row, 72, 73, 74. They had a dynasty in the 70s before Charlie Finley wouldn't pay anybody. They won the division 71, 72, 73, 74, 75. They won five straight division crowns, and they won three straight World Series titles. Then they won the World Series in 89, but they went to the World Series in 88, 89, and 90. They won division titles, I believe, in 92 and maybe 93 with all those guys carrying over. And then they obviously, when the Giambi years came back, they got good again during the Billy Bean, you know, Moneyball years, and they had some playoff teams. The Derek Jeter, the famous Derek Jeter throw out at home. They almost got to the World Series that year. So they've always been a true contender. They've always done their homework. They've always scouted well with the money they've been able to spend. And, you know, those A's fans love their baseball up there. They love their A's. And, you know, I root for teams like that, right? I mentioned yesterday with the Brewers, I'm a small market guy from the Cleveland Indians. I root, other than the White Sox, which is a bigger, they're like a bigger small market, right? You know, in the Central, because they're a rival. I really always kind of root for that kind of team if my team's out of it. So
I'm going to share this with you right now, man. It's time for one of those tech people to buy the Oakland A's. This idea about Moneyball, it don't work. You just cited off a bunch of times they won the World Series. They didn't do that on the cheap. Now, they did it at the average cost of what it cost to buy a baseball team at that particular time.
Well, they did it on the cheap because of Kurt Flood hadn't sued the Major League Baseball for the free agency anti, right? So then when that's around that time is when the A's crumbled, when Catfish Hunter and Reggie left, and all these great players that they had that he was paying on the cheap, they all got wise after that lawsuit and said, well, George Steinbrenner just started writing checks, Catfish Hunter, Reggie Jackson, and the A's were bleak for a while until the Dave Stewart, Jose Canseco years, and they got strengthened again. So
this idea that Moneyball works, and solely Moneyball works, is a fallacy. It doesn't work. It's been 30 years for the Oakland A's. 30 years. 30 plus, now 32, if I'm correct. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. Cut the checks, okay? And if you can't cut the checks, because you're 100% correct, the people of Oakland love baseball. They love that team. Pay them back.
They're going to be in Vegas soon. They're going to be in Vegas soon, just like the Raiders. If something doesn't happen, if a new ownership can't get in there, if they can't get a real stadium in that town, I mean, they're going to be gone.
And it's not fair. It is not fair. I mean, they didn't lose the Warriors, nor did they lose the 49ers, but they lost both those teams because the 49ers play in Santa Clara and the Golden State Warriors play in downtown San Francisco. That ain't Oakland, bruh. That ain't even close. It's close, but it ain't enough. So if you're the Oakland A's, if you're one of these tech people looking to take over Oakland because you ran out of space in Silicon Valley, you've bought all the apartments in San Francisco, so now it's $4,000 serving 1,000 square space there, buy the team. Give some. If you're going to gingerfy an entire city, give something back to the people, man. Give them this team. Pay for it. Cut the checks and make them a viable contender from a baseball standpoint. It pisses me off that these teams that have given these communities are so entrenched in these teams, and the owners only have it to make money. They don't care. But if you're not going to care, man, spend money to make money. That's my only thing about Moneyball. If you're not going to cut
checks, it's a shame MC Hammer went bankrupt when he did, because maybe he could have been the guy that bought the 820 years. It would have been
gold seats in that stadium.
Yep.
Easy. Gold seats, satin tickets, everything. It would have been unbelievable. Shout out to Hammer. He ain't broke. He just holding the money. Now, we done with losers. We've done winners on the first half. We're going back to buy and sell. Boom, boom. But this time, NBA training camp edition. The NBA season is around the corner. You guys know Jason and I love basketball. And so we're going to do a little buy and sell. What is this? Basketball.
That's just a shirt that says basketball. Established 1891.
Gotcha. Basketball. Buy and sell. Give me a team you're buying in the NBA so far, Jason, going into the season. Who are you buying?
Well, you know, there's so much
selling. I'm gonna give it to you. Buy or sell?
I'm gonna sell first. Ooh, and right now, I'm selling the Nets, and I feel like the Nets are facing the same kind of season they had last year, and maybe even a little bit more disruptive in areas. Obviously, with what's going on with Kyrie. And how that's all going to be reacted to as the season progresses with KD and James Harden and how that goes on. And I think the biggest reason why they weren't able to close out Milwaukee and be really ready for the playoffs like they should have been. They were just too talented not to be more ready than they were last year going into these Eastern Conference matchups. I just think that there's just too many little uncertainties and not enough certainties. They didn't prove enough to me last year. And now with a lot of the just, like I said, ifs, whys, and whats going into this training camp and guys kind of not ready to answer this question or, well, I'll tell you later, or we'll figure it out. Seems to be a lot of that kind of attitude. It's amazing how talented, they've added LaMarcus Aldridge, who looks to be healthy and ready to play. And, you know, a team that should just be a clear cut, man, my pick to either win it all or come out of the East, just I don't feel that way with this team.
I find it interesting that you feel that way about the Nets. I agree. They are a little, they've got some turmoil. By turmoil, I mean they've got a Kyrie problem. But that problem is easily fixable. James Harden is a traditionally healthy player. Now, he may not score when you need him to score, but that's why you got KD. I think the Nets are going to run away with this thing because I think for the first time, Harden's going to have a full camp with Kevin Durant. Obviously, Kyrie's already heard the whole full camp thing, but these guys are going to get a full camp together. They're doing a redemption tour. So I think we might be looking at another 70-win season. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. We might be looking at another 70-win season, so I completely disagree with you. But, hey, man, it's your bias, your sell. Because you know who I'm selling? The Lakers. I'm selling the Lakers. We all like LeBron. LeBron's great. But you know what LeBron is at this point? LeBron's old. And you know who's on LeBron's team? Carmelo Anthony. He old. They came in the league together. You know who else is on that team? Dwight Howard. He old, and he got a bad back. You know who else is on that team? Russell Westbrook. I love Russell Westbrook. He's got high energy. He ain't old at all the way he plays. He plays balls to the wall. I love Russell Westbrook, but he don't make jump shots. Neither does Rondo, and he old. It's a super old roster, and AD's always hurt. I love the fact that this is going to be must-see television. I love the fact that this is going to be Hollywood. But they're going to get beat because they're going to get hurt. Because they're old, and old guys don't get younger during the season. They get hurt during the season. This would be the oldest team to ever win an NBA championship. I don't think they're going to do it, so I'm selling the Lakers. Give me another buy or sell, Jason.
For the NBA, I will give a – I'm going to sell the I'm going to sell the Philadelphia 76ers as well, and whether they can even – get rid of Ben Simmons, whether they can heal any wounds with Ben Simmons, which ship has sailed. I just think now they are just in a public relations media nightmare for the rest of the season going forward. And I just don't think Joel Embiid, as great of a player as I think Embiid is, I really do. I really think Joel's is a great player. I just don't think he's the kind of guy that can take the whole locker room and be able to say, we're going to ignore all this. We're going to just move on. And we're going to get better. And we're not going to, I just don't know if, he's a great, great on the floor guy to, go one-on-one and he's the guy that's going to go win you the ball game that you have to win that night. But over 82 games in the season. And like I said, the media nightmare and the public relations nightmare that this is already starting and wait till games start. And if Ben's not there and he's not traded and they have, oh God, I mean, I just think, the Sixers, man. So, I mean, they were just 2 years ago, the year the Raptors won. I mean, they were that close to being game seven with the Raptors. They were mostly the better team in that series, a lot of the minutes of that series. And they came that close to now being a type of team that you almost probably are going to, by midway through the season, disregard.
I may never be allowed in Los Angeles, man, because I'm still in the Clippers to go along with that.
Ooh.
I liked what they did without Kawhi Leonard because that was a temporary, we need to show that we can play. They had a lot of guys on that roster led by Paul George with something to prove that they are not floppers, that they are not weak-hearted, that they are tough-minded guys, and they can fight through something. And they showed that, and they did. They ultimately ended up losing to the Phoenix Suns, but nevertheless, they put up a hell of a fight without Kawhi Leonard. No Kawhi Leonard for a long time this season. So I think there's going to be a very, very large gaping hole at the top of the Western Conference this season because I don't think the Suns can do that again. And I absolutely know the Clippers cannot do that again unless Kawhi Leonard comes back. So I'm selling the Clippers.
Interesting. And that's interesting. It's an interesting take, especially your two takes on selling, because one of the teams I'm buying is maybe going to play right into what you're kind of talking about, that big hole at the top of the Western Conference. And I'm buying the Portland Trailblazers. I'm buying that team as a hungry team that sees these cracks in the Western Conference that you're talking about with LA, with the Clippers, and not having Kawhi for as long as they're not going to have him. And, you know, the Lakers being the, are they just going to be the oldest roster ever to win it? Cause like you said, they would be, and nobody else that old has won it. The Suns, maybe a sophomore jinx, maybe a hangover. I feel like Denver just is kind of, you know, once they get down to that Western Conference final type of matchup, it just seems to be too much for them, which has usually been the case for Portland in the past. But I think Damian Lillard, you know, he's ready to win. Who'd they hire as their head coach?
Chauncey Billups.
I love that hire. That's right. Chauncey Billups. I love that hire. As well as Terry Stotts got them to a certain point. Wasn't the guy, I think, to carry them against these other elite coaches with these other teams in the Western Conference over the time that they had him, especially during the Warriors run. I mean, no, it doesn't matter how great of a coach Terry Stotts would have been, even if he was better than he was, that wasn't going to do anything. But now that there's a lot of open area in the West, and there isn't that total dominance of Golden State, and there isn't that, you know, scariness of, you know, like you said, a younger LeBron and a younger, healthier AD, and there's a lot of questions. I'm buying the Trail Blazers. I think they get off to a hot big start, and they're a team that maybe is a 1-2, possible 2-3 seed in the West.
And to wrap this thing up, the last thing I'm selling, I mean, sorry, the last thing I'm buying, the return of the Warriors. I'm telling you right now, baby. Steph Curry is coming out on flames. James Wiseman will be healthy a week or two to start the season. I like Kuminga, the rookie. I like Moody, the rookie. The return of Klay Thompson. The yelling of Draymond Green. I think we are going to see the return of the Golden State Warriors. Andrew Wiggins, you lose or get vaccinated. I don't care how much money you lose. Brown and Lawhead. We go out. See y'all Monday. Peace.
Have a great weekend.